Okay, good morning, everybody. Welcome back to our Ohel Parsha class learning. So here we are poised to go into the Yom Tov. Only in regard to Sukkos does the Torah use a double lashon of Simcha. It's only in regard to Sukkos that we have a double lashon of Simcha. In regard to Pesach, the Torah does not say V'samachta B'chagacha. In regard to Shavuos, it says V'samachta B'chagacha. In regard to Sukkos, it says V'samachta B'chagacha. And then a pasuk later, V'hayisa Ach Sameach. Someone came over to Rav Moshe Twersky, Hashem Yikom Damo, actually coming up to his third yahrzeit, and said, Rabbi, what should my avoda be during the Yom Tov of Sukkot, during Beinus Manim? What is my whole avoda? He said to be besimcha. So the Talmud said, that's it, that's what my avoda is. So Tversky said, it's not so easy. It's not always such an easy tafka to always be besimcha. But the Torah tafka says, that's the avoda of these days. We are learning Lilui Nishmas Devar Bas Herza Naftali Tzvi HaKohen, whose yahrzeit is today?
Yes.
Should have the aliyah and the merit of our Torah.
Amen.
Okay, so it's interesting because when I came in before we even started, there was a request. I have the same dilemma every year when we start learning again after the Yom Tovim. And the dilemma is by the time we meet all of my classes, it's Parshas Noach. And I'm always torn. What happens to Bereishis every year? And I even think, I say it every year. I don't know what to do. How could we miss Bereishis? How could we miss Noach? You can't learn everything in 1 hour. So it's a conflict every year. So I said, I hear. I was actually already thinking about what we should learn after. Perhaps we will learn Bereishis. But it's interesting because stay tuned for today's class. Okay? Because it's really a combination of Sukkot and Bereishis. It's some fascinating things. I actually want to begin. Okay, today's class is based on Parshas Emor and Bereishis, because it is in Parshas Emor where the Yom Tov of Sukkos is delineated in terms of the Arba Minim, which is one of the main focuses. Every Yom Tov has certain symbolisms and mitzvos associated with the Yom Tov. Of course, Rosh Hashanah is shofar, Yom Kippur we fast, Pesach is matzah, Shavuos is man matah and Torah seinu. There are symbolisms and mitzvos that are associated with the Yom Tov, and one of the inseparable parts of Chag HaSukkos is the Arba Minim. Yes, the Sukkah as well, I understand, but Arba Minim. So I'm going to the end of Parshas Emor, actually, where the Yamim Tovim are outlined. The first thing, I just want to share one insight onto Yom Kippur, and then we will go on. Vayidav Hashem el Moshe Lemer, and Hashem spoke to Moshe, saying, I'm in Emor for your reference, Perachav Gimel, on the 10th of the 7th month. It is Yom Kippur, it is a day of holiness. We just all went through this experience. I hope that you had a meaningful Yom Kippur. I used to say easy and meaningful fast, and I realized that's not correct. I changed it this year to an easy fast and meaningful Yom Kippur. Oh, wow. That's not the same as saying an easy and meaningful fast. Easy and meaningful means Yom Kippur should be easy. But I don't think that's exactly accurate. I think it's more accurate to say you should have an easy fast and meaningful Yom Kippur. Okay. Because it is a day of atonement, to atone for yourselves. Don't do any work. Whoever does work shall be cut off from the people. It's a Shabbat Shabbaton, you shall afflict your souls. Here the Torah says on the 9th of the month, from Erev to Erev, and here, from here we learn that it's a mitzvah to eat on the 9th, just like it's a mitzvah to fast on the 10th. It's also a mitzvah to eat on the 9th. So we had in mind when we washed 2 times on Erev Yom Kippur, you should have in mind, I know we're a few days later, but Muchan Umizum and the Kai Mitzvahs, I say, behold, I'm fulfilling the positive commandment to eat on this day, just like it's a positive command to eat, to fast, to refrain from eating tomorrow. In regard to Yom Kippur, earlier in the book of Vayikra, and Perek Tes Zayin, Pasuk Yud Beis, from Parshas Achrimos, we read from Parshas Achrimos, the Torah reading of Yom Kippur is from Parshas Achrimos, when the Torah also goes through the Yom Kippur Avoda. Right? So the Pasuk says, V'lakach melo hamachta gach le'ish, the Kohen Gadol takes a shovelful of smoking coals from on top of the Mizbeach, from before Hashem, and a palm full of Ketores Samim Daka. So we call the incense spices that are offered on the golden Mizbeach Ketores. It's a special mixture of 11 spices, and it's offered up in smoke. But the Pasuk says Ketores Samim Daka. The incense spices should be ground. So Rashi says there, Daka, ma tam adomer daka. Hello, kol ketores daka. He, Rashi, always has a question. The question is, why does it say ground? Well, you're not taking cinnamon sticks You're not taking whole cloves of besamim. There's certain formula for the spices. I'm just giving an example. It's already ground, so it's redundant. Ketores samim daka. Why does the Torah need to say you grind it up? Ketores is already ground up. So the Rashi says, Shetehi daka min hadaka. It should be really the mother of all grindings. On Erev Yom Kippur, they would put it back into the mortar and grind it again. So this past year, when I was reading through Parshas Emor, a ha'ara occurred, Baruch Pokeach Ivrim, and I think it's an important ha'ara. And I know we're coming out of Yom Kippur, but I saw a great WhatsApp that I repeated last week. I don't know if I said it here in other classes. While it's important to behave properly during Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur, perhaps it's more important to behave properly from Yom Kippur to Rosh Hashanah.
Yeah.
So, you know, sometimes the WhatsApps are not so profound, those that we get. Some of them are not worth reading. I thought that this one was very important. We all should be. We try to be so careful during the Aseret Yemei Teshuvah. It's a time of Teshuvah. Dear Yeshua Hashem, be matzo, karobios, karov, Hashem is close to us. Okay? But what about all the other days of the year? From Yom Kippur to Rosh Hashanah. So what's the pshat, the lesson here? Daka min hadaka. On Erev Yom Kippur, davka, they put the ketores that it's already ground back into the mortar and they grind it up some more. Think of something that goes into your food processor. So you grind it. It's already ground. But then you put it back in and you grind it up. It's really pulverized. What's the lesson? And perhaps, I think, an important pshat into this Rashi, into our lives, into Avodas Hashem is as follows. Sometimes, especially when it comes to Yom Kippur, we think we're ground enough, ground up enough. I worked, I changed myself, I saw something, geschmack. Rav Eli Melech Birman brings down such a beautiful verb. He quotes from so many different sources. I don't remember who he quoted from, but it's from Rav Birman. Why do you make Shachianu on Yom Kippur? Shachianu is really said in a time of simcha, in a time of Yom Tov. You have a mitzvah you haven't done the whole year. You feel so happy. Take the lulav and esrog. So it's a time of zman simcha. So you make a Shachianu. So what's the Shachianu for on Yom Kippur? The Shachianu is on yourself. You are a new person. You're making a bracha. This is a hashkafic insight. You're making a bracha into the new person that you are. I thought it was so tremendous. So we're daka. We think we're grand and we did our avoda and we worked so hard. So you know what the Torah tells you. You think you parshas achrimos, which we read on Yom Kippur and Shal, Torah relating, when we're finisim esnaf shosechem. So what do? Put yourself back in the mortar. You think you worked yourself all out. You think you're finished your avodas Hashem. You think there's nothing left to clean. There's no bad midos to grind up. The Rambam says, just like someone must atone for sins of action, such as gezel, so too he must atone for sins of thought and feeling. That's what the Rambam writes in Erchos Tshuva. Deos, raos, bad thoughts from your machshavos ra'os, a person must repent. So when we think we've finished our avoda, Yom Kippur is over, I finished my avoda. Daka min hadaka, put yourself back in the mortar. Your work is not over. You have to re-grind. I thought it was very, very profound. Going back to that WhatsApp that I got, well, it's important to behave from Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur, and it's true. Perhaps it's more important to behave properly from Yom Kippur to Rosh Hashanah. So even though Yom Kippur is behind us, the inyan of Torah Samim Daka, of offering ourselves on the golden mizbeach to the Ribono Shel Olam, pure and ground, that's certainly not over. Yes?
So it's interesting you can say that we was followed all year round to be grounded.
Say it again.
I mean, yes. Like literally. For sure, then we could say we should be mispalo all year round to be grounded.
Oh, we should be mispalo to be grounded. Okay, very nice. So, Avari Levine would speak about that. I saw a Nile Al Hahari Ma'ayan Yavo Ezri Tzadik from Jerusalem, Zecha Tzadik Levracha, Zuhusa Yagan Aleinu. I saw a Nile Al Hahari Ma'ayan Yavo Ezri. I set my sights to the mountains, from where will my help come? So Rabbi Levine would teach, why do you say I set my sights to the constellations, to the moon? Why do you stop at the mountains? Why not set your heights to the stars? Reach for the stars. So he answered as follows, because a human being has to be like a mountain, grounded in this world, but reaching up. That's our avoda. A mountain is not, the stars are not of this world. And the sun is not of this world. It's a different universe. It's a different solar system. I don't know. It's very, very far away from us. That's not what a human being has to be. On the one hand, we have to be in this world, involved. A mountain is firmly rooted down here. Nevertheless, the mountain's not flat. It's growing up. Very nice. Okay. So now, in the same Parshas Emor, the shiur was actually developed back in the spring. And someone came over to me last week and she says, remember that shiur from the spring about Esrog? And honestly, I did not remember. I knew it was Parshas Emor. And I knew it had something to do with Eitz Hadas. So I said, I'm going to look it up. And this is my last class. No, tomorrow I have a lecture at the Nautilus. This is my last class really before the Yamim Tovim. I couldn't believe what Minas Shemayim it was, because it's about the Arba Minim and Sukkos. And we're going to delve into Bereishis. So that's why when he said, could we learn Bereishis, I said, stay tuned. Okay? Okay. So the Pasuk says, in regard to Sukkos, which we're all getting ready for, Vayidaber Hashem Moshe Lemor, I'm in Parshas Emor, Parak Chaf Gimel, Pasuk Lamed Gimel. No, I want to skip that Sukkos. I'm going to Lamed Tes. Lamed Gimel begins Sukkos, okay? Hashem spoke to Moshe, saying, speak to the children of Israel on the 15th of the 7th month, which we're coming up to, we're in Tishrei right now. It is Chag HaSukkos for 7 days. The first day is a calling of holiness. Don't do any work. 7 days. Okay, there we go. Okay, on the 15th of the 7th month, when you gather in the crop, celebrate 7 days to Hashem. You shall take for yourself on the first day. Many of us know this pasuk off by heart. Pri Eitz Hadar. I'm not translating them yet. Kapos Tmarim. Va'anaf Eitz Avos. Va'arve Nachal. Usemachtam ufnei Hashem Elokeichem. The Torah itself tells you what the theme of Sukkot is. Or Moshe Turskus Hashem Yikom Damo. Zechat Tzadik Uvracha said to his Talmud, you should be besimcha. The Talmud said, that's it. Yeah, it's not so easy to always be with the midah of simcha. But the Torah says, what should you do when you take the arba minim? Usemachtam lefnei Hashem Elokeichem shivas yamim. You should have rejoicing before Hashem your God for 7 days. You shall celebrate the chag for 7 days in the year as an eternal statue for generations. In the 7th month, you should celebrate it. In the Sukkos, you should dwell for 7 days. Leman yedu doraseichin kubasukkos. Everyone should know that in Sukkos, I caused the children of Israel to dwell when I took them out of Mitzrayim. There's a machlokas in the Gemara. What are the Sukkos? Were they actual booths or were they the Anane HaKavon? And I believe we paskin like Rabbi Akiva. Yes, which is that they were the Adonai HaKavod. 1 second, I might be wrong. Yes, it's the machlokas between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Elazar says that it is actual booths, and Rabbi Akiva says, no, it is clouds, which is what Rashi quotes. And even though, interestingly, usually when there's a machlokas between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Akiva, we paskin like Rabbi Elazar. And in this case, we hold like Rabbi Akiva. What does it mean? Besukos of Shafti, Espinei Yisrael, Botzi Osamer, it's a tribe. What does it mean? I dwelled the children of Israel in booths when I took them out of the land of Egypt. We hold like Rabbi Akiva. God ensconced us in his clouds of glory. Okay. What are the Arba Minim? Ulakachtam, again, we said every Yom Tov has symbolism. An integral part of, an almost non-negotiable part of Sukkos is the Sukkah and is the Arba Minim. The roast is negotiable. If you have it, good. If you don't have it, you can still have Yom Tov. But without the Arba Minim, it's such a chisaron chalila. We should never know. I'm such a time, but we can have the Arba Minim. Pre Eitz Hadar, Rashi says, Rashi does not say Esrog. The Rashi that I'm about to read you is very important for today's class. Listen to these words. Eitz, Shetam, Eitzo, Irpirio, Shava. When it comes to Pre Eitz Hadar, which the Mesorah, the Torah Shabbat Peh, the sages tell us is the Esrog. Rashi does not say Esrog. Rashi says Esrog under the word Hadar. Rashi says it's an Esrog. But under pre-Eitz Hadar, which would literally mean the fruit of the tree of splendor, pre is fruit. Eitz is tree, Hadar is splendor. Rashi says Eitz, Shetam, Eitzo, Upirio, Shava. It's a tree that the tree and the fruit have equal taste. Okay, when we pick an apple, for example, I don't know, I never tasted the bark of an apple tree, but I'm being serious, I don't think it tastes like an apple. I think the wood tastes like wood, the apple tastes like an apple. Jaffa orange is going to taste like a beautiful orange from Yafo, and the tree is going to taste like a tree. The first thing Rashi tells you on pre-8 Hadar is, this is unique. The fruit and the wood taste the same. That's what Rashi says. Eitz shetam eitzo, the taste of the wood. Upirio shaveh. Remember that, Rashi. Then Rashi says, on Hadar, it's an esrog. But the opening to Rashi tells you the esrog is unique. Taste of tree, taste of fruit are equal. Okay. Further, already question? Yeah.
Is that the only fruit that tastes the same as the tree?
Okay, so what I'm going to ask for is no questions in this class, because I think I'm going to answer your questions.
Okay.
If I don't answer your questions at the end of the class, we really need our thinking caps. We're putting a lot of stuff together. It's one of those very cool classes that I really, Baruch Hashem, you know, it's funny because the class was developed in the spring and that woman said to me, remember what we learned? I said, I have to look it up. All I knew was it about the Esrog and it was related to the Bereishis. I had to go over my notes a few times for myself to review this. So I'm going to try and make it as clear as possible. I think I'm going to answer your questions. So try and hold them. It's very cool stuff. Okay, pre-Eitz Hadar is the Esrog. Kapos Timarim, Rashi says. No, Rashi doesn't say it. Kapos Timarim, but it's from a tamar. A tamar is a date tree or a palm tree. That's the lulav. Then you have Hanaf Eitz Avos is Hadasim. Does Rashi say? Yeah, Rashi says Hadas. Arve Nachal is the easiest one. Why? Arve is Aravos. So pre-Eitz Hadar, you know, because why? It's the Esrog, it's the one that's the pre. Kapos Timarim, it comes from a tamar tree, date tree, palm tree, lulav. Anaf Eitz Avos is the Hadas, says Rashi, and Arve Nachal, it's pretty clear because it's a Ravos. Okay, it grows by the brook, Nachal, stream of water. So we're going to take the Arba Minim, Baruch Shachianu V'Kimanu V'Gyanu L'Zman Hazeh, Be'ezros Hashem. Thursday is the first day. Bereishis Rabba, Medrash Bereishis Rabba teach. What was the Ilan? What was the tree that Adam and Chava ate from? Rabbi Abba teaches it was the Esrog. Did you hear what I said? What was the forbidden fruit? Rabbi Abba teaches it was the Esrog, the Etrog. How do we know it was the Esrog, says the Medrash? I emphasize the Rashi repeatedly. Rashi says, Eitz, Shatam, Eitzo, Upirio, Shaveh. And I said this Rashi is foundational for our learning today. It is a tree who the taste of the Eitz and the taste of the pre is equal. Because what does it say? By the woman, and I'm going to the beginning of Perek Gimel in Bereishis, and the Nachash approaches her, and the Nachash says, so, lady, I hear you can't eat from any fruits of the garden, the cunning serpent. And she says, that's not true. We can eat from the fruits of the garden. However, there's one tree in the middle. We can't even touch it. She added on, that was not true. You could touch it. Anyway, the Nachash pushes her against it, according to Chazal. You didn't die from when you touched it, so you're not going to die if you eat from it. You're going to be like God. Vatei ha'isha, listen to the next words. Ki tov, who knows what the next words? Ki tov ha'etz l'ma'achal. Why is that so important? It doesn't say ki tov ha'pri l'ma'achal. What does it say? Ki tov ha'eitz. You would expect it to say, ki vatei ra'isha. I wouldn't look at a beautiful apple or Jaffa orange tree and say, wow, look at that geschmack bark. I would say, look at that stunning orange that Hashem created. That orange looks so delicious. That is not what it says about the woman. Vatei ha'isha. The woman sees ki tov, keyword, ha'eitz. Oh, the tree itself looks good for eating. Tree, remember, what do we say about the Esrog? Yeah. The tree and the fruit are equal in terms of flavor. So the Medrash says, what did they eat from?
The
It must be, it was an esrog. V'chitai v'hu le'einayim, it is desirable to the eyes. V'nechmar ha'etz lahaskil, it is pleasant to contemplate. V'atikach mipiria v'tochal. She takes from the fruit and she eats, and of course, infamous, v'titein legam le'isha ima v'yachal. He comes home, that's for supper, I'm not going down alone, she says. Have some fruit, okay? But what does it say? What does the Medrash pick up on? Ki tov ha'etz l'machal. So it doesn't say the fruit's good to eat. The tree itself is good to eat. So it must be the esrog. Because what do Chazal tell us about the esrog? Eitz shetam eitzo. Upirio shava. It is a tree that you would look at. You say, that looks like really good bark. I want to eat the wood. I'm not making a joke. It's delicious. Continues the Medrash. Tzei ure'e, eza ilan she'etzo nechal kapirio. Go out and do an investigation. We say a carbon by Pesach Seder. Tzei u'mad, go out and learn. Ma bikesh lav and arami lasos. We learned that a few weeks ago. Tzei ure'e, eza ilan, go out and make an investigation. Which tree? That the wood of the tree is eaten like the fruit. Ein atamotze ala esrog. The Medrash says you will not find another fruit like this except for the esrog. It's unique because yes, apples, oranges, lemons, limes, grapefruits, you name it, clementines. The tree is wood, the fruit is fruit. But when it comes to this unique tree, Eitz l'ma'achal, kitova eitz l'ma'achal. Rabbi Ganak, Rabbi Menachem Ganak, in his Sefer Birkas Yitzchak says, asks a very good question. One second, please. Baruch ata Adonai Eloheinu melech olam shahakol nehiya bedvar.
Amen.
Fascinating. So Rabbi Ganak, thank you for the water. So Rabbi Ganak asks in his Birkas Yitzchak, if the fruit of the Eitz, said Rabbi Ganak of the OU, if the fruit of the Eitz Hadas was the Esrog, why do we use it in the Arba Minim? Oh, remember what I did an Aveira with? What? We started the Shir with Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur, we wear white. The Kohen Gadol takes off the golden begadim. He shouldn't go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim with gold. You don't want to remind God of the Egel Azav. How's that going to go over? We wear white. The men wear the kittel. We take off gold jewelry. Right? Why? Ein kategor nasa sanegor. You don't want to use the very thing that's your prosecutor to defend you. The gold represents sin. So on Yom Kippur, take it off. So Rabbi Ganak says, the pasuk says, u'lakach l'mlochem b'yam rishon pri eitz hadar. Rashi says it's esrog. The Medrash says this is the fruit by which Adam and Chava sin. Downfall came to the whole world. What does Hashem say? He comes looking for them in the garden. He calls them, where are you? And everybody's cursed and they're banished from Eden. So now, every year, it's the most exciting, wonderful thing to go find the esrog. I saw beautiful pictures last night. Someone sent me a link. My mother actually sent me a link to Israel 21C. I don't know if anyone saw that website. It's about the, I don't follow it, but my mother sent me 11 like artist pictures of Chag HaSukkot, getting ready for Chag HaSukkot in Israel. So it was like different Sukkot in different places, buying of the Arba Minim. So it showed one store of Arba Minim. They had the yellow, they had the green, and then they had orange. I forget. Yes, it said, I don't know if it's Yemeni, I don't remember. It's one, it's a Sephardi, one type of Sephardi minhag, they have orange esrog. It was just beautiful, but you know, the artist rendition is much nicer than I could explain in words. So we're all bending over backwards to find the beautiful pre-Eitz Hadar. Says Rashi, it's the esrog. Meanwhile, they brought death to the world through their sin. So what's going on here?
Tikkun.
So Rabbi Ganak, it's a nice question, explains as follows. Chag HaSukkos is the sefer's in Hebrew. The translation is my own. So if it sounds a little unsmooth, that's because I'm the translator. Rabbi Ganak explains as follows. Chag HaSukkos is part of the cycle of the Yamim No Raim, of course, which it is. Din, the judgment is sealed on Hoshana Rabbah. We daven, then we daven, then we daven. And then Rachman son Yud Alav Tishrei comes and we mess up. Hashem, I just clapped Al Chay. Really meant Al-Khay. What am I doing today? I wasn't crocodile tears. I really want to change. So you have to Hoshana Rabbah. So on Yom Kippur, we have Kapara, we have Slicha. We move from Yom Kippur, which is how we began our Shir, into Sukkos. And we take the Esrog. The Esrog is Dafka through the vehicle through which Adam and Chava sin. And from that first sin, he fell down. Down, down, down. Rabbi Ganach says, quotes a very nice line from Medrash Bereishis Rabbah. Chazal say about Adam, after he ate from this forbidden fruit, which we're understanding as the Esrog, Etmal l'da'ati v'achshav l'da'ato shel nachash. Yesterday I was in control of my own faculties. I had my own thoughts. I was a strong person. I had da'as. I had my own knowledge. Now that I ate from the fruit, l'da'ash al nachash, whose knowledge did I follow? The cunning serpent. I'm not even controlling myself anymore. Etmal misofa olam va'ad sofa. Chazal say when Adam was created, he was so tall, talking about Asar Nail al Haharim, he reached from one end of the world to the other and up to the heavens. Yesterday, I was from one end of the world to the other. Even metaphorically, this could mean he was in control of everything. He was the master, the king. Achshav betoch eitz hagan. Now I'm nothing. I've been reduced to this little human being in my own plot of land. Sin reduces us down, 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 down. So why do we take the esrog? Because Rabbi Ganach says it is the kli, the vessel through which we can have ultimate teshuvah, to rise once again. Because the Rambam teaches, Maimonides teaches, teshuvah mikaravas es harechokim. After sin, what happens? Vayishmus kol Hashem Elokim mishalech began the ruach hayam. They hear God, and what's he doing? Walking in the garden. So they hide. So Hashem says, where are you? What's going on? They hear Hashem walking in the garden. So Rabbi Soloveitcher quotes Chazal, the Medrash also, and the Medrash says, what was God doing taking a walk in the garden after sin? He was leaving. The Shekhinah and sin cannot remain in close proximity to each other, dwell together. So before, Hashem was down there with Adam and Chava. Now you sinned. So what's God's divine presence doing?
Leaving
the garden. God's taking a walk. He is going away from them. Because the Medrash says, before sin, it was supposed to be Ikar Shechina Batachtonim. God was going to dwell down here. After sin, Ikar Shechina Be'alyonim. Sorry, says Hashem, this didn't work out, but I cannot be in the proximity of Averos. I'm leaving. And that's why we say, listen to me, the greatest consequence of sin, I am talking to myself, is not the ramifications that are felt down here, but it's the fact that we cause the Shekhinah to move away from us. That's the greatest consequence of sin. There's a distance between us and the Ribbono Shel Olam in our lives. Vayishmu is kol Hashem Elokim mishalech b'gan l'ruach hayam, says Rav Soloveitcher, according to the Medrash, God's leaving. I can't be here. And if only, halavai, if only I could remember that every time that I embark on a path that's not the smartest thing that I've ever done, that's not the wisest thing I've ever done. The greatest consequence of sin is not what's going to happen down here, which could, by the way, be very, very bad. But it is that Hashem cannot tolerate being in our presence. So the Rambam says, Teshuva mikareves es harechokim. Repentance brings back he who is far away. What happens with sin? Rechok. Through repentance, we become karov. Yesterday, this was sanui lifnei makom. Yesterday, this one was hated before God. Mishukatz. Mishukatz is like, not a nice term. Shkutzim, excuse me. Mishukatz, like insects, not kosher things. So you were abominable before God before. Umirochak, you were far from God. V'to'eva. The Torah describes things that are to'eva in the strongest possible terms. Like some of the worst sins are considered to'eva before Hashem. The Rambam is saying that the sinner is mishukatz, mirochak. Mishukatz is like insects, abominable creatures are described as mishukatz. Mirochak, far, we just explained that. V'to'eva, some of the worst, not nice sins, not some newer things in the Torah described as to'eva. V'hayom. Today, you are ahuv, you're nechmad, you're karov v'yadi. Look at the power of repentance. Today, you are beloved, nechmad, precious, karov, close, yadid, and beloved. Look at the power of repentance. It takes someone who is abominable and distant and disgusting and makes him beloved and precious to the Almighty. So, it's interesting, Rabbi Ganach points out that after repentance, we are nechmad before God. He says maybe that's an allusion to how the fruit is described. What does it say? The fruit is tov ha'etz l'ma'achal, taiva hi le'enayim, v'nechmad ha'etz l'haskil. Nechmad, it's pleasant to contemplate. Perhaps the Rambam saying that with repentance we become nechmad, precious or beloved, is actually an allusion to the Eitz Hadas, which itself was Nechmad. Very, very interesting. And then, Zohi Sod Lekichata Etrog, says Rabbi Ganak, this is the secret of the taking of the Esrog. What's the secret of the Esrog? We still haven't answered our question. We're starting to answer. If the Esrog was the Eitz Hadas and it brought death to the world, and it brought distance between man and God, and it brought banishment from the Garden of Eden, why do we use it as part of the Arba Minim? Perhaps through the very medium which we fell, we become purified. The very vehicle that we abuse to become impure, we now take to become pure. Perhaps that is not only the secret of the Esrog, but the secret of our Avodas Hashem. Take that which we caused an abomination to and elevate it by making something holy. For example, I'll give you another example. Any tool, anything, any matter in this world, any object can be used the Kedusha Ula Tahara, or Za Toeva. So I'm going to use one of the most basic examples that can be seen in this light, and that is relations between a husband and wife. Kedushin. What is a marriage called in Lashon HaKodesh? What's Kedushin? Doesn't mean marriage. Holy. It can either be very, very holy, and the same act improperly at a time when the woman is in nida between two people who are married to other people. It's all of a sudden a toeva. It's a yarog val yavor, it could even be. You must give up your life rather than commit. But isn't it the exact same act? Isn't it the exact same esrog? The esrog that I sinned is now making me holy? That's exactly correct. Take dafka, that vehicle or tool or action or object through which you sinned and became debased, and make it holy once again. Is it possible to come back to holiness after such debasement? What's the answer, says the Rambam? Absolutely. The same thing that is mishukatz, mirochak, v'toeva. Think of an act of between a man and a woman that is not al-pi Torah and not al-pi halacha. That would be mishukatz, mirochak, v'toeva. It would be something disgusting, abominable, distances you from God. The very same act, when carried out properly, al pi halacha, is ahuv. It's the most, it fulfills pruvu miluas aretz v'kiv shua. The very same act, it fulfills shalom bayis. Ahuv nechmad karav v'yadid. Why am I using this as an example? Because it helps us understand so clearly how the same thing can be used for to'eva or for kedusha. That's the esrog. You can either take any vehicle in this world and use it to bring you down. All of a sudden, everyone's being cursed. God is leaving because you didn't listen. Or take the very same vehicle, al pi halacha, and use it to elevate yourself, elevate mankind, bring up the nation. Rav Elimelech Biderman, further proof of this. Rav Elimelech Biderman says, and this is really what we're learning, so I was very happy when I found this in Rav Biderman. You know, if I say it, it's one thing. If I find the source, it's another, much better. For example, I'll tell you a short example. Last week I spoke on Megillas, Sefer Yonah. It's on YU Torah if anyone's interested. Lessons learned out from the book of Yonah. One of the things I spoke about before was in Yanim in Teshuvah. So I said, I was talking about being Mevater. We actually spoke about here a little while ago. The one who wins is the one who is mevater, not the one who gets what they want. So I said, for example, it seems like such a silly example. The husband wants to go for melechik, the wife wants to go to fleishik, and no one's willing to be mevater. The one who's mevater is really the winner. So I just read and repeated, that's what I said in the shir. It seems silly, but it's emes. What's the emes? That from this can come machlokas. So I just saw Rav Biderman brings down, also in the same Rav Biderman as reading, so geschmack, I never considered it before. Aaron, when he died, v'zos habracha, Moshe dies, the Bnei Yisrael cried. When Moshe died, the end of v'zos habracha, the children of Israel, the males, cry for 30 days. When Aaron dies, who cries for Aaron? Everybody. Why?
Because he brought shalom between the men and women.
Specifically, he made shalom between between quarreling parties, but ben bale meriva, but more specifically ben ish li ishto. So Rabbi Edelman says, what were they arguing about in the desert that are not to make shalom? They didn't have da'agasa parnasa.
Had to prepare the man.
They had man. They didn't have to pay the Long Island water bills because they had a rel. They didn't have to worry about housing because they had anane hakavod. They didn't have to worry about shopping for clothing because the anane hakavod kept their clothing clean. They didn't have to worry about snakes and scorpions and call the exterminator because the clouds protected them and leveled the mountain. So it's a geshmak kasha I never might have considered. What's Aaron making shalom? Why are they fighting about it? So this is after, I read this 4 days, 3 days after I told the Melech HaKfleishik restaurant example. I wish I would have seen this before that year. But Benjamin brings down, the husband says he wants the chair on this side of the living room. The wife says she wants the chair on that side of the living room. He puts it there, she puts it here, and that's where they're arguing about. What are they arguing about?
Nothing.
But we tend to make nothing into something. It was so it's the same. So you could say the chair on which side of the room, or you could say which restaurant are we going out to. The chair on which side of the room seems even more less relevant than who wants milchak and who wants shleishak. That's what Benjamin brings down. He was talking about the power of vatranas. Obviously, there are some times when we need to stand our ground. We're not talking about Shmir Shabbos here, okay? Okay. So Rabbi Edelman now says, the same deed can be virtuous or immoral. Remember, going back to why do we take that through which we sin, the esrog. Eit shatam eitzo pirio shava. The esrog, says Rashi, eitz pri eitz hadar, has the same taste in the wood and in the fruit. What is this first forbidden fruit, says the Medrash? The esrog. How do we know? Vateira eitz kitov ha'eitz lamachak. So we have all established this already. But if it's something that we used, it was mishukatz, merochak, v'to'eva, we distance ourselves from God. So now we take it, we stand before the Ribbono Shel Olam during halal, and everyone's waving and so happy. Na'anuim, lulav, esrog, arbamin, and people spend hours choosing. Because we're understanding that the same vehicle, the same object, can either be immoral, to'eva, or virtuous, karav, v'yadid. Says Rabbi Edelman. The Gemara actually says this. The Gemara quotes a pasuk from Hosea. Who is wise and discerning? Ki yisharim darchei Hashem. The ways of God are straight. Tzadikim yalchubam. The righteous will walk in the way of God. Hu poshim yakashlubam. But the sinners will stumble. It's the same path of God. The righteous will know how to walk along the path. The sinners will fall down. And the Gemara brings its own example. The Gemara says in Nazir, Chazal say, Mishnah Nazir, two people roasted a Korban Pesach. They both sit down and eat it. Looks like they're doing the exact same thing. One ate it for the sake of mitzvah, and one ate it for achilas gasa, gluttonous eating. One gets the mitzvah, and he is karov yadid nechmad, and the other is a to'eva and rachok from Hashem. So we see that any element in the world can be channeled in different ways. Our tikkun, what are we doing when we take the esrog? Now we have the real answer. It's a tikkun. We are being misakein, mitakein. What do you translate? Rectifying? It's a rectification or a repair of the first sin. This fruit was used, Adam and Chava represent humanity, by the first people to bring the world down. We dafka take the very fruit through which we sin to bring the world up. And in fact, the Ramban, Nachmanides writes, and Vayikra, Chaf Gimel Mem, 23:40. Listen to the words of the Ramban. Va'al derech ha'emes pri eitz hadar, the way of truth is, pri eitz hadar, which we call the esrog, hu ha'pri shebo rov ha'taiva. Wow, the pre-Eitz Hadar is a tree that has so much desire in it. Uvo chata adam arishon. The Ramban says, Pashat, this pre-Eitz Hadar, which one am I pointing to? This one, in Parshas Emor, this pre-Eitz Hadar is the tree, is the fruit that adam arishon sinned with. He quotes the same pasuk that we're talking about. Vihine hachei bo levado. The sin of eating from the forbidden fruit was with the esrog. The anachnu nirtza lefanav im sha'ar haminim. We gain appeasement or atonement before God by not taking the esrog in isolation, but rather im sha'ar haminim, taking it with ladies. I know I said no interruptions, but come on. The other minim, the arba minim. So what is the Ramban saying? The truth is, the Priyat Hadar in Parshas Emor, Parachov Gimel, v'lakachtam lachem b'yam, v'lakachtam lachem b'yam rishon, Priyat Hadar, eight shatam, eight so pir yoshava, says the Ramban, it's this fruit that has the most taiva, the most desire. It's a very dangerous fruit. It's full of desire. It's exactly what the Pasuk tells us in Bereishis Paragima. It's full of desire. And that's how Adam and Chava sinned when they ate it. Anachnu nirtza lefanav im sha'ar haminim. We gain atonement by taking the other minim, the other three, the gimel minim with it. Lulav, hadasim, and aravas. So what can we learn from here? What Musar Haskel can we deduce from here? We sin with the esrog. So we've already established that we are being mitakein, misakein the sin, with the same vehicle through which we sinned. We're doing teshuva, we're repenting. Somebody, Rahman Atzlan, was involved in inappropriate action and undergoes a true teshuva process and now uses the very same action as an act of kedusha. It's teshuva. So why do we need the other minim? Besides the fact that the Torah says you need the other minim. The lulav, hadasim, and aravos. So perhaps we could say as follows. When you want to come back up from your sin, when you want to rise again from your sin, you have to have a support system. The esrog needs the support of those other minim to help it back up. Now, of course, we know that the arba minim are a remez to our body parts. The esrog is the heart. By the way, this makes perfect sense now that the esrog is the heart. The heart is the root of desire. Now, yes, I know. Modern medicine and science would tell you that today, what's the heart of the seed of desire?
Brain.
The brain. But you still say to a person, I love you with
all my heart.
And you broke my heart. The heart represents the emotive base of the person. So it makes so much sense that the Kabbalists teach us that the esrog is
the heart,
because that's pumping our blood. Think of someone who feels passion, feels angry, feels a certain strong midah. You say, my heart's racing. When you're afraid, you say, my heart's racing. It happens to be the heart actually races, which shows us there's a connection between our emotion and our biology in the heart. The esrog represents the heart, because it's that strong emotion. The woman had to eat the fruit. Where did it emanate? In her heart. Why? Why is the esrog like the heart? Because that represents the first sin. So what do you put together with it? The lulav. What does the lulav represent according to Kabbalah? The spine. Why? You need a strong backbone. When your heart is pumping that blood and you want to be involved in something you know you should not do. You should not be eating that fruit. You should not be sleeping with that person. You should not be going into that bar. Excuse me. Wine is another good example. The Ramban speaks about this in Kedoshim Tiyu Ki Kadosh Ani in Vayikra Yud Tes Beis. So the Ramban uses wine as an example. Wine can be used to elevate the holidays, sanctify, Kiddush, Avdallah, Arba Kosos, you have to have wine. Wine can also be used for problems, okay? We learned the Gemara inside. How did they seduce after Bilam's curses did not work? So he says to Balak, come, I will give you advice. Set up tents with a zona on the outside and the inside, and by the time the guy moves into the tent, Tzir Tzure Shal Yayin Amoni Munach Etzla. What does she have there?
Wine.
Sit down, shave, Barar La'atzmecha, have some wine. He drinks, says the Gemara, his passion burns within him. Then they ended up being with the non-Jewish ladies. Through what? The vehicle of the zona and the wine. So here come to the two examples again. Wine, so either wine can be used to elevate us or wine could be used for toeva. 1 second, please. So when you feel that passion, Kevan Shaba'ar Bo, says the Gemara, his passion raged within him. When your heart, the esrog, the fruit of sin is pumping within you, what do you need? A strong spine. Take your lulav and hold it together with your esrog. You need something to keep you in check. Man has so many emotions, but the spine, so it's so beautiful. I hope I'm transmitting this in the beautiful way that it deserves. I don't know, but it's just Torah is amazing. Mm-hmm. I have a friend, Yocheva Goldberg. She says to me, "You can't make this stuff up." Sometimes when we're learning cool things, she says, "You can't make this up. You can't make this up." So why do you need a spine? to keep you in check. Otherwise, your heart, the esrog, is going to run amok, which is unfortunately what happened with Adam and Chava. It's exactly what happened. You need a spine. Furthermore, the hadassim are the, who knows?
The eyes.
Did you say eyes? Yeah, the hadassim is very beautiful. If you look at the hadass, and the aravos are the shape of the
lips.
And they are. If you look at the leaf of the aravos, it's the shape of the lips. It even has a line in the middle. It looks like the top lip, the bottom lip, and the line in the middle. And the hadass is the shape of the eyes. It makes so much sense. Because the eyes also, what happens? Lo sasu acharei levavchem and the parsha shlach. I don't have a b'midbar here. Lo sasu acharei levavchem v'acharei einechem. Which two elements lead you to sin? Levavchem is the esrog, and einechem is? What is the first thing it says about the woman when she goes to sin? Vatirei. She sees. The eyes are the gateway to the soul. They can either lead you, how careful do you have to be with Shmir Seinayim to guard your eyes, to make sure you're channeling, once again, your vision in the proper direction. We clapped an achay for improper vision. And finally, the lips. What gets her into trouble in the first place? You should never be talking to the Nachash in the first place. Why don't talk to him. Don't talk to that person who you know only speaks Lashon Hara. Hello, how are you? Move out of the supermarket aisle to the next aisle. You know it's down the path of no good. Don't get involved in a conversation with someone you know you shouldn't be talking to. This first sin represents every sin we do. So what is the tikkun? The very vehicles by which we sinned come to pick us back.
The only
good one is the lulav. It's unbelievable. What?
The only good one is the lulav.
Say it again.
The only good one is the lulav. There was no affair with the lulav.
The only good one is the lulav. It's interesting. So it teaches us that a Jew really needs a backbone. You need a very stubborn midah, so to speak, of straightness, of knowing, this is what I'm going to say, the lulav represents knowing when not to yield. And that was absent in the sin of Adam and Chava. You have to know when not to yield. Remember we spoke about being mevater? Like, really? You know, they're not going to ask me if I went to Milchik or Fleishik, and they're not going to ask me which side. It's such a geschmack question. I just read it in Yom Kippur. What were they really arguing about? They're all crying that Aaron died. What's it being matil shalom? What are they fighting about? So Rabbi Yehudah says, I want the chair on this side. She wants the chair on that side. They're not going to ask me which side of the room the chair is on. They're going to ask me if I had a backbone for Yahadus, for Avodas Hashem, or if I ran after my heart and my eyes. Lo sasur achevam. It's unbelievable. Okay. 1 second.
It's really beautiful.
Oy, Vesmir. What?
Beautiful.
It's beautiful. Thank you. Ahaskama.
It's really beautiful.
Geschmack. Oy, Ves. 1 second.
The heart, the backbone, the eyes, the lips.
What?
But the lulav is also bending. It does
very nice,
bend.
Beautiful.
It's not
very, very nice.
Straight all the time.
Beautiful.
It can bend when it has to.
I love that. So the lulav, the spine, 1 second, is straight, but it does bend. When you wave it, it moves, so to speak. So that teaches us that we need a backbone, but we know how. We have to know when to
bend,
be bendable,
yeah.
To be flexible. Okay, when it comes to eating from day to das, you need to make sure you're straight. When it comes to being with the wrong person, be straight. When it comes to talk to that person who only speaks Hashem, I'm not talking about passing judgment, I'm talking about your personal voice Hashem. Don't go there. However, when it comes to which side of the room the chair is on, okay, so you have to bend a little. Very, very nice. Beautiful. Okay. Ah, are you with me? Geschmack.
It's really good.
So amazing. The Gemara says if the Yetzer Hara is after you, Mashchil Beis Medrash, you should drag him to the Beis Medrash. Because how does Torah make you feel?
Good.
Amazing. It's going to get even better. Okay, ready? In Bereishis, Parak Aleph, Pasuk Yil Aleph, Bereishis 1:11, that's creation. Vayomer Elokim, we don't see Shem Hashem yet, different shir, not today. And Elokim says, Tadshe Haaretz Desha, Esav Mazria Zera. The ground should sprout forth grasses, plants with seed. Listen to the next words. Eitz Pri, Osep Pri Lemino, eight pri. Now, based on our class, how exactly are we going to translate eight pri? Does it mean a tree that makes fruit, or does it mean a tree that tastes like fruit? Mm-hmm. Now it's not so clear. Mm. What exactly eight pri osa pri means? Is it a tree that makes fruit and the tree tastes like wood, or is it a tree that tastes like fruit, eight pri, osa pri, and it happens to also make fruit? We're not so sure. While Rashi clarifies, and Rashi tells him in Bereishis Perak Aleph Pasuk Gedaf, if anyone needs to review this year, I know we're learning a lot of material, it's unbelievable, it's going on while you're Torah, but lean Eder Be'ezras Hashem. Okay, Rashi tells you right there, eight pri, can I please have a napkin? Thank you. So Rashi says, Hashem originally intended Sheyehei tam ha'etz ketam ha'pri. All trees should be like the esrog. Hashem's original plan by Maisa Bereishis, Perak Aleph Pasuk Yud Aleph, Shetehei tam ha'etz ketam ha'pri. That's why it says eitz pri. It's a very strange term. It should say eitz oseh pri lemino. Tree making fruit according to its kind. Orange tree makes oranges. Apple tree makes oranges. Lemon tree makes lemons. That's not what it says. It says eitz pri. What on earth does fruit tree making fruit mean? Well, you know what it means, says Rashi. In the beginning, God intended that every tree should be like the taste of the fruit. So an orange tree bark would taste like orange. And an apple tree bark would taste like bark. V'hilo asasachin. The trees did not listen. This is fascinating, by the way, because what do you mean the trees didn't listen? Are the trees people? Do they have bechira chafshis? They didn't listen to God? Hold that. Ela avatotze arts ace osepri. The pasuk tells you they didn't listen. They made trees that gave forth fruit. They didn't make fruit trees. Fruit trees would mean the tree is like the fruit, and it makes fruit. They didn't do that. They made eight oseh pri. Therefore, says Rashi, when Adam HaRishon was cursed for his sin, that's why the ground was cursed. Arur ha'adama ba'avurech, says Hashem, is part of Adam's sin. Why? The trees were punished. Why were the trees punished? Because they also didn't listen to Hashem. Wow. The trees were supposed to be trees that the wood tastes like the fruit. Eight pri osepri. Says Rashi, they didn't listen. They made eight osepri. The wood tastes like wood. The orange tastes like the orange. It's not the same. That's why arur ha'adama ba'avurech. The ground is cursed. You didn't listen. You ate from the eight. So that's the ground didn't listen. They also didn't listen to me. Now, Rabbi Ganak says the esrog was not cursed. It was the only tree that was not cursed. Why? Because the fruit and the tree, the wood, have the same taste. They were not cursed. Now, he quotes a pasuk, Reishis Chachma Yiras Hashem. I'm quoting a different pasuk, very, very humbly and very respectfully. I think that this pasuk fits better. He wants to now quote for proof of what he's saying, Reishis Chachma Yiras Hashem, but I'm going to quote a different pasuk. I'm quoting from Mishlei Perak Aleph Pasuk Zayin, Mishlei 1:7, and the pasuk says, Yiras Hashem Reishis Da'as. Or I'm going to say, Yirat Hashem Reishit Da'at. Why is that amazing? Yiras Hashem, the first step in being a Yirei Shemayim is Da'as. What's the tree called?
Eitz
Hadas. The tree was the only one who listened to Hashem, was the Esrog. The only one where the wood tastes like the fruit is Dafka called Eitz Hadas, because this tree was endowed with a strong measure of Yiras Shemayim. Yirat Hashem Reishit Da'at, says Mishlei. The beginning of being God-fearing is to have Das. Who had Das? Eitz Hadas. And therefore, because she had Eitz Hadas, she was God-fearing. I said that wrong. Because she was God-fearing, she has Das. She's the only tree that's not cursed. Why would the tree not listen to Hashem?
How does a tree not listen to Hashem?
What?
And how does a tree not listen to Hashem?
What then?
A tree's not human. So how does it...
So the question is, okay, so in terms of how could the tree not listen to Hashem, I don't have an answer to that, because a lot of mice, not a lot, Almost the entire Maisa Bereishis is so esoteric, it's beyond our scope of fathoming. But I do want to ask and answer, why didn't the other trees listen? So I'll tell you, Jackie Nussbaum offered a beautiful insight, and then lo and behold, a different friend, Michelle Berger, I'm trying to say everything, b'shem Amram, maybe Geula Ba'olam, and whoever saw the news this morning knows we need Geula La'olam. It doesn't say, maybe Geula L'Yisrael. It's a Perek Vav of Pirkei Avos. Vatomer Esther Lamelach b'shem Mordechai. By the way, not Lamelach HaChashverosh. Vatomer Melach Esther Lamelach. Okay, b'shem Mordechai, and the Mishnah says, "Kol Amar Davar b'shem Amar Mevi Geula LaOlam." Doesn't say Mevi Geula LaYisrael, Mevi Geula LaOlam, and we all know that the world needs Geula very, very badly. So Jackie Nussbaum proposed an insight that Michelle Berger subsequently came shared with me. The Chizkuni says this exact same thing. I went over to Jackie. I said, "You're not going to believe this. Listen to what the Chizkuni says." Why didn't the tree listen? The trees. One tree did listen, but all the trees did not listen. Why? Eitz pri, v'hi lo asasa kein. Okay. Mikan yesh lomod. Shalitova nit kavna. The trees intended letova, for good. Lefisha kama ilonot yichasru ima eitz atzmo kipri. What did the trees figure?
People would eat the eights.
Oh, we're going to become extinct. If I would go over to a tree and say, that bark looks so delicious, never mind the apple, I want to eat the bark. Ki tov ha'eitz l'ma'achal. We're all going to eat all the apple tree. Not only the apple, what are you going to eat? Listen, we eat what the earth produces. That's the way of man. We would eat all the trees. So the trees figured, Letovin is Kavna. They intended for good. Lafisha Kama Ilono. This is Chizkuni to Bereishis 1:11. You're welcome to look it up. Lafisha Kama Ilono Yichasru Ima Eitz Atzmo Kipri. We're all going to become extinct if the flavor of the wood, if this tastes like an apple, then never mind the poot they're going to put out here in 5 minutes. I'm going to eat the table itself. This is like an apple. Va'afa pi kein kishanit kalal adam alavono, nifkada gam hivnit kalla. Nevertheless, even though the trees intended for good, they were still cursed. Why?
Because that's not what
they're
supposed to.
Because that's not what the Ribbono Shel Olam wants. And here we learn a very important lesson. Yirat Hashem reishi da'at, eitz das, eitz hadas. Das is not always whether I understand or not. This was one lone tree. And this Eitz Hadas said, you know, I should really be like all the other trees. I don't really understand why God is doing this. If my taste, if I'm Kitova Eitz Lamachal, I'm going to become extinct. Nevertheless, she went against her Ratzon, against her Chachma, to do God's Ratzon. The trees thought we're all going to be eaten and we're all going to be extinct. Though this doesn't make sense. But why were they cursed? Because it's not what the Ribbono Shel Olam commanded. It says the Chizkuni, he quotes an Aramaic expression, Divahade kavshi dirachmana lemala. It means, why are you delving into the ways of God? The tree should have listened. It should have been fruit trees making fruit. They were the Tovin Iskavna, but nevertheless, Arur Adama Ba'avurech, because when it comes to pitching, so to speak, Ardas against the Ribbono Shel Olam, if it doesn't match up, we will always lose. And that's why, said Jackie, she's called the Eitz Hada'as, specifically. Her Yiras Shamayim fuels her Da'as.
Still made us lose.
What?
Hashem infused the Eitz Hada'as with the good and evil. All the other trees didn't have good and evil in them. It's because of the Eitz Hada'as that we sinned to begin with. So even though she listened to Hashem, she became a vehicle, a catalyst to bring evil into the world.
Can't blame the tree, you have to blame mankind.
But you always say
it's mankind who had Bechira.
You always say that, you know, a person doesn't want to be the bad messenger. Hashem even...
But the tree was not the bad messenger. The tree did Ratzon Hashem. Adam and Chava did not do Ratzon Hashem. It was their choice. Going back to the idea of relations between man and woman, it fits exactly. You could bring destruction or you could bring blessing. The act itself, the tree itself, is objectively good. It's what man makes of it.
If all the trees would have been the fruit and the bark the same, yeah, Would Hashem say you can't eat from all the trees?
Okay, so we can't answer that. You know, we can't answer that. My daughter taught me a very good lesson. We can't answer that. Her teacher taught a few years ago in TAG, when you ask questions that don't have an answer, if I swallowed wheels, would I become a trolley car? This is what my daughter Tamara taught me. It's funny, but it's true. What does it mean?
There's some things that you can't answer.
If all the trees would have listened to Ratzon Hashem, I don't know. I can't say they didn't. Wait, give me one more minute, please. So Rabbi Ganak says, let's just sum this up. Now we can clarify, why do we go out from our houses and dwell in sukkos? Let's put this whole shiur together. On sukkos. Where did the actual sukkos, the booth, come into play? A house is developed and built by man. He uses his da'as, his wisdom, his strategy. He thinks he's going to protect himself from the afflictions of nature. By the way, Hashem shows us all those rahmats on hurricanes we just had. We think we're so strong, we build houses of protection. Yeah? You think you're building yourself houses of protection? Who's in charge? Only after we ate from the Eitz Hada'as, we got this Da'as where we thought we can control our environment. We want to be misaken the first sin, so we put our hands totally in God's. We put our lives totally in God's hands, which is symbolized by leaving our human dwellings, which, when Hashem doesn't want it, are of no use anyway. And going back to the proverbial Anane HaKavod, where we acknowledge that all that we need and all that we have and all our protection is only from the Ribono Sha'olam. We go back, we journey back to before sin. So, 1 second. So, with that, Be'ezra Hashem, we should be zocha to Ulakach Lachem B'yam HaRishon pre-Eitz Hadar. Our heart should always beat in tandem with what God wants of us. Kapos tamarim, we should have a spine that knows when to be bendable. Anaf eitz avos, our eyes should always be going after good. And finally, anaf eitz avos va'arve nachal, our lips should always be speaking of positive so that our entire body can be misaking through the Arba Minim, the first sin, and bring us back up to dwelling with Hashem in the Garden of Eden. Amen. So I wish you all a wonderful Simchas Yom Tov. Amen. Amen. Thank you.
Now I have a question.